Welcome to Ron Paul and Charles Goyette, the weekly podcast. Big government economist Paul Krugman thinks that VA healthcare is a model. Well, he's right. It is a model. He's unclear about exactly what it is a model of. He admits it's socialized medicine, but he says it's a huge policy success. Actually, that's what he said a couple of years ago, before we learned about all the veterans dying waiting for healthcare. But the VA medical system is a model. In fact, it's a microcosm with a few million veterans of what will play out for hundreds of millions of Americans under Obamacare. And while the accounts of veterans dying while waiting for medical care are heart-wrenching, we should also at least try to draw a lesson from those tragedies. So, Dr. Paul, you must have had some exposure to the VA during your long medical career.
I have, and it's something most doctors get on their way to get their degrees and get their specialty. But, talking about Paul Krugman, one thing that we can give him credit for, he's very consistent. You know, we had an economic crisis, and it came about because there was too much spending and too much debt and too much printing of money. So to him, the solution was more spending, more debt, and more printing of money. So now he's starting to say that, he believes that if you have a disaster, which we had financially, and disaster in medicine, well, you look at an example, which is really, really an example of what central planning does and a single-payer system does. So he says, we need more of it. And you wonder, and these guys are the bright guys, they have the PhDs, and they win the Nobel Prizes for economic and great wisdom, and they get these articles in the newspaper. And this is, of course, my argument is that that used to be the standard. Everything you heard on TV and read in the papers, that was the gospel. But now we can refute this by what we do on the internet and elsewhere. So I think that I think we're in better shape now than we were over the last 50 or 100 years when there was a monopoly on getting information. But you're right. I've had a little bit of experience in the VA hospital. I was never an employee there. But I went to Duke Medical School, and one of the tours was at the VA hospital. Now, when I was a sophomore, we did physical diagnosis. That's just your introduction to a patient, which is, a big event for us. At least it was for me. So you don't have any real responsibility, but you learn how to do a physical examination and do a diagnosis. And so I was, I went over there for my patient, and it was a very sick veteran. He had been a heavy smoker and had bad lung disease and emphysema. And then they were still using these oxygen tents. So they put him in a tent, and he seemed to be more comfortable. And I did my work up and wrote up my history and physical. And then I went home. I wasn't required to be on duty all night or anything like that. So the next day I went back to check my patient. And it was tragic. It was so sad, but it's almost like a sign of things to come, of what we end up with the VA hospital. Because I went back in and the patient wasn't there. So I asked, and they said, oh, there's a terrible thing happened last night. He lit a cigarette in his oxygen tent and blew himself up. I mean, this is just horrible. Now, this is just one story, and that wouldn't be enough to base it on, what VA hospitals medicine is like. But, that would be pretty astounding. Can you imagine that in a private hospital happening? It's not likely to happen, and then there'd be a lot of liabilities. But it's always been known with medical students that, you really don't take things seriously at a VA hospital. You know, that's not where you learn medicine. You might be able to do a procedure or something, but it was always considered, less than perfect and not a good example. So it's sort of sad now that we have this system which really has totally failed medically, totally failed our veterans, and now we have a group of people in Washington and a group of people in the country who think, well, if the medicine's free, let's bring it on. But it has to. Governments can't deliver services. They can't deliver medical care. Look at what they do when they provide free care to the Indians. The Indians, of course, were abused. If they'd have been given some liberty and some land, they'd have been a lot better off than to put them in a concentration camp and treated with socialism. It's been very difficult. And this is a form of socialism to go with Obamacare, closer to fascism because they never canceled out the corporations. But as an example of what not to do, it's at the Veterans Hospital. There's no incentive system in there. I had experience in the military too for 5 years, and I didn't see the military medicine anything like the veterans' medicine. See, veterans are sort of cast aside, don't bother us anymore, and they get really secondary treatment. But I was in the Air Force, and I had to take care of the pilots. And of course, you know, and all the time, the pilots get special treatment. They got to be ready to go and fly these airplanes. And they got better medical care, even though it wasn't considered private. So I think it's unfortunate, obviously, now what's happening with the veterans. People ask me, what do I think they should do about it? I think they should get rid of all the VA hospitals. I mean, I hear some stories. I had a rural district when I was in Congress way out in the country. And so often they would tell me, veterans would come up and say, I have this problem, and I have to go see the doctor, and they have to drive 150, 200 miles to San Antonio because that was the nearest clinic. Then they get there, then they have to make a new appointment, drive home, drive back again. It was just so inefficient. If we're going to have a military and we're going to have a volunteer army, why don't we have a contract that they stand behind? You, under certain circumstances, maybe if you get 20-year service, you get medical care. But why can't we just give them a voucher or something and say, you spend this amount of money per month on buying insurance, and you can, you know, negotiate with the insurance company, do the best you can, make the insurance companies competitive for those patients. That, I think, would be far better than what we have today in a system that is really broken. But I always like to think that when something is revealed to us how bad it is, and we can't change the past, why can't we use it to change the future? If this is so bad and gave bad medical care, cost too much money, instead of saying, well, let's make the entire system like that, why don't we say there's something wrong with it and we should learn from it? But unfortunately, I guess we'll have VA hospitals for a while to come. And sadly, I'm afraid we're still moving toward more government involvement, not less. So one of the best things to happen for the veterans and everybody else is just to legalize freedom of choice on where you get your medical care. And the little bit of freedom left today in medicine, where you can make individual choices and get your care totally private, the costs are usually about one-tenth the cost. If you take plastic surgery and some eye surgeries that no insurance will cover, the prices keep coming down, and the doctors compete for the people to come in, and they learn how to do it, and they take care of a lot more people. But the system that we have, and actually the example of the worst would be the VA hospital, means that it does exactly the opposite. So we just need to allow the competition to occur. We're not going to wave a wand and get rid of the government medicine, but Obamacare, and sort of the veterans are under the same circumstance. It's a mandate. Of course, for a veteran, it's not a mandate. You have to go to a veterans hospital, but they don't get any care because they've been sort of told that they were going to get medical care. But it's one system that actually, in spite of all the problems there, the amount of money that is spent is unbelievably. It was even hard for me to vote against any medical care money for veterans, arguing, well, it's constitutional to have an army, and we drag him in, and we draft these people, we send them off, that we should do it. But there's a lot of blood. It's bloated. It's excessive. It's inefficient. So hopefully we'll wake up and reassess the whole system.
I think the thing that astonishes me most is the way that the government works in a way that no rational person would. Dr. Paul, I'm having my house painted this week. I suppose if I had hired them to paint the door and they had bungled it really badly, really messed it up, I wouldn't think of retaining them to paint the entire house. Yet this is what the state does. It demonstrates its incompetence, in a microcosm. It can't handle the medical care system for veterans, which is but a few millions of people. And so it demands more authority, always demands more power, greater reach, a larger realm in which to work, in this case, Obamacare, having demonstrated that it can't perform on a small level.
And, you know, that's right. And, you know, when Hayek wrote about why the worst rise to the top, he says the people have something to do with this, because one of the characteristics of the average person is they're gullible. And I think everybody has this temptation to be gullible. I hope what he's telling me is true. Oh, you mean if I buy this stock, I'm going to become a millionaire? Okay. Yeah, this is great. They want to believe it. So they're very gullible. And I guess that's why they overlook all the mistakes and they don't start with a basic principle of how goods and services should be delivered and whether and what is a free society all about and what we should be doing under those circumstances. They just say, well, he did a bad job on the door. I think maybe he learned his lesson and maybe we'll have a different crew tomorrow. And they talk themselves into it. And then, of course, the people who sell this to us are very good at, propaganda. Whether it's talking to people into going into war or accepting Obamacare, you know, it's going to be better, it's going to be cheaper, and it's going to be all this. So they can propagandize pretty well. And politicians who make these promises, the one thing that Hayek says, they have no conscience, you know. And they're willing to say anything. And the people who are envious of others and the people who are gullible, lo and behold, we end up with this system. So I guess that's why I've generally argued that we're probably not going to gradually work our way out of it. As far back as Adam Smith said, once a debt gets so big, you just don't work your way out of it. You have to liquidate the debt. So I think we're going to blunder along, but that doesn't mean I give up on it, because I think, in the midst of any crisis, whether it's a foreign policy crisis, financial, or a medical crisis, that if you just let people do it on their own, I think that wealth would come back quickly and there would be medical care. And even in the worst of times, there's always going to be medical care available for those individuals who seek it and maybe saved enough gold coins to pay for it.
I'm almost surprised that this story has played so large, but here's hoping that the appropriate lessons about Obamacare can be drawn from it.
So, you know, I guess if they really had learned the lesson, not only would we deal with veterans, their medical care differently, we might look at the policy that creates so many sick and needy veterans. They come back wounded and psychologically and post-traumatic stress disorder and all these problems. And that's because we send them into these senseless, winless wars they go on. So in some ways, you can't even solve the problem of, caring for all the veterans if we don't consider a foreign policy that maybe would produce a lot less of the problems, you know, treat the cause rather than treat just the symptoms.
Well, thank you. Yes. How can they possibly think they could send 2.5 million people marching off to foreign wars and not have an overloaded system? And yes, that's the place that they should have begun, certainly. Thank you once again for another great conversation and podcast. And thank you for joining us for the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Guay.